Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. Welcome to the Solar Storm. This is your host, Kyle Hunt, coming to you this Sunday evening. It is January 22nd, 2017. Thank you so much for being here with me on the one and the only RenegadeBroadcasting.com. In my opinion, the only place where you will hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me gods. And I also encourage you to go over to RenegadeTribune.com. A whole other slew of people. In addition to all the great broadcasters we have here, these writers just do a fantastic job. Very unique content. And of course, I myself contribute as the Renegade account. Every day, lots of interesting material that I find, some of it from 100 years ago, 150 years ago, some of it from today. I don't like to just focus on current events with Renegade Tribune, but also philosophy and religion and culture. That's one of the most important parts there. And other people can cover the news, and I do as well over there, but I really feel like we need to set the agenda. We need to get ourselves straight and no longer just respond and react to what they're doing. To take the initiative and to dissect their lies, of course, expose them, but not be wholly focused on just looking at the problems and never offering any solutions. And a lot of the work that goes in at Renegade Tribune has to do with just the kind of basic education that a lot of us missed. We never got it. Even if you were an art history major, you probably didn't hear of a lot of the painters that are featured on Renegade Tribune. Even if you've studied some mythology, you might not know some of the Greek myths or, some of the ancient Roman customs or the Celtic ones especially, because, well, they don't teach it. They have us reading African authors instead. They have us doing all sorts of stupid problems, pushing papers, solving math equations that we'll never need to use. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's important that people are well educated. But what they're teaching children these days is far from real education, far from real learning. And so that is what we are doing here at Renegade University. We are bringing people up to the next level. And we are, like many universities out there, turning our young and old minds into hardcore activists. Now, at the universities these days, it's usually the SJW programming that goes on, and a few people will react to that and they'll join the Young Republicans or some crap like that. But here at Renegade University, the activists that we turn out are much different than that. Though, we will learn from some of the tactics our enemies employ, some of the dupes employ, if they are successful. And we will adopt these tactics, like weapons, to our cause. Just because the AK-47 was made in the Soviet Union doesn't mean that you can't use one, is all I'm saying here. We have a challenging time in front of us. That is for sure. And we need to really think critically, think clearly, and come up with some plans to get the job done. Not come up with some plans to run and hide. Not come up with some plans on how to make a few shekels in this awful system. No, we need to figure out how to win. We need to figure out what total victory will take. Some of you might not even think it's possible. Then you've already lost. Turn off the radio now. Of course, there is a path to victory. We just need to find it. I think we've been heading on a pretty good trajectory and winning some important battles. But let us never get overconfident or overextended. And let us never underestimate what treachery can accomplish. We saw what happened to the National Socialists with Operation Barbarossa, the Blitzkrieg, dominating Europe, dominating anybody who dares to provoke the awakened German folk. Poland, matter of weeks. France, matter of weeks. The Blitzkrieg, dominating. And the Germans almost made it all the way to Moscow. And they would have been there in time and not been frozen out if Mussolini, who was probably a British agent, could have been, if he didn't decide to go and invade Greece and get their butts kicked and have the Germans go down there and quickly bail them out, then who knows? The operation could have been successful. A number of other things happened along the way. Huge, huge setbacks. And a lot of it was subversion at the highest levels, some of the top brass. I don't know what exactly they were hoping to accomplish, but yeah, they screwed the war effort. Supplies going the wrong way, time and again. And they're left out there hanging. Left out to dry in the freezing cold with the wrong jackets, with the wrong gear out there in the freezing winters in Russia. And I did actually deal with this topic with Richard Tidor, who is the author of Hitler's Revolution. So I do suggest you go and have a listen to that. The point I'm making here is that it is crucial that we never allow ourselves to become overconfident. Think of all these people who have been declaring victory for months now with Trump. Think about this. They have become very confident and complacent, and they're smug. Oh, they are setting themselves up to get their asses handed to them. Well, or they're setting themselves up to get cold-clocked by some masked Antifa protester like Richard Spencer. That smug grin that you and Pepe and all the other shitlords have on your face can be smacked right off in a moment's notice. Smugness is not an Aryan characteristic. Smugness leads to a situation where you are completely unprepared, where you are caught by surprise, and when you are brought down from your pedestal that you've climbed up onto. You are not some golden god. You are not some fasci Führer. You are a man who is trying to do his best you are a man or woman listening now who knows the gravity of our situation and will defy the odds that seem to be stacked against us. Have honor, have courage, have heart, but do not be smug, do not be cocky, and do not be complacent. Please. So, last week's show, I dealt with Pizzagate in the first hour. That was an interesting conversation with Titus Frost. The investigation is ongoing. And I dealt with some things about Trump, of course, and politics and the TRS doxing in the second hour. Let's stick with Pizzagate here for a moment. I saw David Seaman at the Deplora Ball. So Pizzagate represent at the Deplora Ball. I don't think it was mentioned by anybody. Brittany Pettibone was there as well, another person who's been dealing with Pizzagate. And I don't think Cernovich still talks about it, but he was there as well. So just wanted to throw that out there that the Deplora Ball had some Pizzagate people there. I don't think I saw any mainstream press reporting on that. There was Sheriff David Clark there, and a lot of other people who are closely associated with the official Trump administration. One thing that I found interesting that came out this week was the Ben Swan reality check dealing with Pizzagate. And it was about a 5-minute segment. And this guy, Ben Swan, very smart person. He goes through and basically concludes that though there is nothing definitive here that we have that can get these people... Okay, here's what he said was, it needs to be investigated. There's a wealth of information that should warrant a massive investigation. So it's really not fake news. This is something that just has not been properly investigated. Even titled the piece as a question, is Pizzagate fake news or has it just not been properly investigated? Or something like that. I featured it on the Tribune if you want to go check that out. And Reality Check airs in CBS, an affiliate of CBS in Atlanta. So this was pretty big. I don't like Ben Swan's haircut. In this video, he does seem to be sporting a fashy, a little bit more faded than the likes of Richard Spencer, but a fashy nonetheless. He also has come out somewhat in defense of the alt-right before on one of his reality checks. As I said, though, this guy is very smart. He got his master's degree at age 16 in history. He had a one-on-one, face-to-face questioning of Barack Obama in 2012 concerning his kill list and how it was unconstitutional, so he called him out right to his face. Not in the Luke Rutkowski style. What I'm getting at is this man is a very respected journalist. He left a Fox affiliate as an anchor to start his own platform. And I think it was Truth in Media. Is that the one? People can go search for that themselves. Ben Swan with two N's there. So he has come out and said essentially that Pizzagate is real. It's real enough to be investigated. And there actually were some big protests outside of Comet Ping Pong in D.C. over the inauguration weekend. So I don't think that this is going to be dying down anytime soon, but I know that there are a whole lot of people who would like for it too. Who'd like for us to kind of just file this one back there and things that, you know, they came up, they came, they went, and, you know, we forgot about it. Don't worry about it. You know, like all of the other instances when this very sick system of abuse gets revealed. How many times have they done this in the past? They want to try to paint it as just isolated incidents. So even if this one is investigated, which Titus seems to think is happening right now, and come on, if any policeman out there is doing his duty, any kind of investigator, any kind of intelligence is looking into this, they'd be able to see exactly what's what. They'd be able to see probably much more than ourselves. But, of course, we know that most of these investigatory bodies, if not all of them, are at the highest levels controlled by the same people who are using and abusing children and torturing and murdering. Yes, they're all connected, and that's why nothing publicly has been done yet. And that's why all of the mainstream media, besides this one example of Ben Swan, have come out and said that this is just fake news and not looked into it at all. WikiLeaks did actually tweet out the Ben Swan segment, which is very interesting because this was the first actual acknowledgement even of Pizzagate from WikiLeaks. Because they waited this whole time until a mainstream person could verify it. And then they tweeted out, but they're the ones with their emails who obviously started this all. WikiLeaks. We discussed Julian Assange last night on the roundtable. So please do have a listen to that. Also, the whole inauguration, went over it. We went over a lot of things. That is an important show. I enjoyed it. You might laugh through it. We're facing an awful situation. Sometimes it is healthy to be able to have a little laugh, but that should not be your whole shtick like it is with some other broadcasting networks where it's little to no substance and all just stupid jokes, a lot of which actually revolve around Jewish humor. That's about it for Pizzagate. I haven't been spending as many cycles looking into any of the new revelations, but as I said, big things are afoot, so do keep your eye out for that. As for the inauguration, I said a lot about it last night. The first whole half hour was me just telling you how very excited I am, and obviously how excited many of you are. I see 64 people in the chat. Good to see you all here. I doubt many of those people are actually participating in the chat. It'd get a little crazy, but yeah, it's good to know that people are listening, and I think a lot more will be listening because they see everything we're warning about has come to pass already. Already. Of course, Trump is a Likudnik. Yes, we told you so. Of course, he loves Israel and the Jewish people. What, did you really expect that he would go all Daily Stormer 1488 on you all? Come on. If you hear any background noise, it has started to storm quite a bit around me. There's actually a tornado warning, which is somewhat odd here in Florida. Very high winds. So that's what you might be hearing here. Folks, a storm is not coming. A storm is here. Now, I didn't like it when I saw, of course, you know, Dylan Stormroof and all that, but I didn't like it when I saw this hashtag with all these people who were opposed to Trump for all the wrong reasons, where it was hashtag We Are the Storm. It was all these people who just love Hillary Clinton, right? Probably AstroTurf getting funded by George Soros and his ilk. But nonetheless, no, you're not the storm. You're a little passing of gas. That's what you are. We are the storm. Right here on this network. So the inauguration. No one here had any desire to go into D.C. That circus is all for the people at the deplorable and all the protesters and all the rest. They can have at it. I wouldn't be caught dead anywhere near there. The inauguration weekend. Are you kidding me? Some people did go. But the big event for us here at Renegade is the Apocalypse coming up towards the end of March. So it is year 5777 in the Jewish calendar. Yes, that 777 right there. And the first full day of Trump in office. It should be the day after the inauguration. The first full day was when he was 70 years old, 7 months, and 7 days. So again, the 777 there with Trump, the God Emperor, the Messiah. Well, actually, the rabbis who were coming out and saying that Trump was the Messiah, actually, it was more that he is a Messiah. You know, a military leader who will take them, the chosen people, to victory, serving his designated role. I did discuss last night how there was this article that came out and shared by the good people in the think tank, were the same people who brought my attention to those that 777 connection, you know, like Hugh and Nick. They had shared this article about how Trump is the first Jewish president. This was written by Wayne Allen Root. Probably heard of him before. I think he was actually pretty popular within some of the liberty circles, of course. Of course. But we had Obama being the first Jewish president, according to the New Yorker. And, well, there could have been a lot of Jewish presidents going back a long, long way. Some people even say Abraham Lincoln. Look at the name Abraham. Then, of course, there was Roosevelt. Roosevelt, good old FDR, killing all those evil Nazis. LBJ wanted the USS Liberty sunk so as to not embarrass our greatest ally, Israel. Just look at him. Look at him. Is that not a Jew? And there was... Who else is a Jew out there? George W. Bush. H.W.? I don't know. Are they related to Crowley? Is that really the case? It's possible. So, we are entering into a whole new America where things are going to get very, very Jewish. I didn't think it was possible for the United States to get any more Jewish. But that's what we're seeing here. Absolutely incredible. Super Jewish. The Messiah has delivered already. Already in talks. Already in talks with the Israelis, with Netanyahu, to have the capital of Israel moved to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, for anybody that does not know, specifically East Jerusalem, was captured by Israel in 1967, the same time that they tried to sink the Liberty. And it was almost entirely Palestinian. Now it's something like 95% Jewish. And these settlements are illegal. Absolutely illegal. Complete violation. And it is illegal for them to make their capital Israel. Now the U.S. Congress had passed a resolution, what was it, 95, saying that they were for the capital being moved to Jerusalem, but presidents actually vetoed that. And we've finally got their guy in office, not our guy. Don't listen to what the fraudsters out there like Anglin and Duke and Red Ice and TRS are telling you. He's not our guy, he's their guy. They got him in the office. And so the people who carried out September 11th, which really none of those outlets I just mentioned ever seem to talk about, especially anymore. Yeah, the people who carried out 9/11 are very much in control of the White House. Not to say they weren't before, but damn, this is so Jewish. There's this video posted over on the Tribune about how Trump filled the swamp with the Jewish mafia. And you just listen for 6 minutes of this video or so, where all of the Jews surrounded Trump are named and pictured. It is so very sickening. But of course, the mainstream media will tell you that these are all white men, that this is just white male privilege rearing its ugly head. This is the patriarchy. Well, in fact, this is the patriarchy. I would love to be able to see that meme, that we should smash the patriarchy. But the patriarchy is Jewish. I'm not saying a patriarchy is inherently evil, but the patriarchy that's ruling over us all, yes, I'm down with that. Let's smash it. Sure. But when we hear those people out of protests and whatnot saying, smash the patriarchy, what they're talking about is we need to smash white men. We need to continue this genocide that's going on by specifically targeting white men based solely on their race and gender. It's wrong when anybody, when white people do that, when they discriminate based on race or gender. But white men, specifically, oh, oy vey, we need to keep tacking them and tacking and tacking. White women are getting it now too, but they're going to really use white women as much as possible against Trump to set up this kind of false dichotomy where white American proud men are behind their glorious leader Trump, and the white women are these feminists who are just so irrational and crazy and dressed up as vaginas marching through DC. Huge circus this weekend. Absolute circus. We'll talk more about it when we get back. And much, much more. Welcome back. So, we are living in... we are living in Israel's colony right now, pretty much. It is disgusting watching Alex Jones dancing with Jews. Out there celebrating. Oh, just hamming it up. Oh, hysterical. I mean, if it wasn't obvious to you before, with all of the other shilling he's done for Jews, praying for Israel and whatnot, just watch that video and that should be enough. That should be it. We're now in a position where anybody that doesn't agree with Trump is essentially a terrorist, a Palestinian. We, the dissidents, are the new Palestinians. I don't know exactly who has been charged with the felony of protesting at the inauguration, but apparently some people are getting 10 years in prison for protesting, or at least that's what they're trying to throw at them. And I don't know if this was for burning cars or whatnot. Isn't it interesting, though, just how people are able to do that, and that was just blowing off some steam, giving them space to destroy when it's the black people. But now, when you're going up against the new Trump and Fuhrer, heavy-handed tactics will be employed. They're using the water cannons as well to spray down protesters. And we have so many of these Fashmasters on Twitter who are just loving it. Think this is the best thing ever. Awesome. Yes! Take down the stupid Palestinians. They shouldn't have any rights. They're insane. We had the left-hand puppet in this Punch and Judy show get knocked out. You know, is this black man? Oh, black people are in charge. Yeah, sure. Let's blame it on the blacktivist. He gets punched out by this white man on the right hand. And everybody's cheering over here on our sides. And, you know, you have the stage crisis actors out of the inauguration crying, "No, no." They're zoomed in on this guy's face the whole time. And he, "No." It's all an act. What you're seeing on television is never real. But you don't seem to get it, some of you, that it is really just WWE getting us ready for WW3. Raw is war. That's the motto for WWE's big Monday night wrestling lineup. Raw is war. What else can be said about this? How pathetic it is to see supposed anti-Semites, people who are against the Jews, celebrating right along with the Likudnik Jews. Here's an opinion piece from Haaretz. "Resisting Trump means resisting Netanyahu. And I concluded that supporting Trump means supporting Netanyahu." Andrew at Longshanks underscore 66 says, "Winston Churchill's bust back in the Oval Office is pure autism. That fat alcoholic mass murderer is a treacherous rat. Hashtag inauguration." Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Trump didn't actually remove the Martin Luther King statue. His press secretary made that abundantly clear today. So all those people were saying, "Yeah, he got rid of MLK and put in our this great white man, Winston Churchill." Okay. Yeah, you have great mental faculties. I'll say that. These people who are celebrating this, what else can we expect? I mean, TRS, the Daily Stormer, aren't they both run by Weave, who has been outed as a Jew in so many different ways? He said just as much to Gawker for an interview. His mother, in some emails, said, "We're from a Jewish family." He, in his own OKCupid profile, which you could find on archive.org, said that he's a Jew. And he's the man who saved both the Daily Stormer and TRS from getting shut down, making sure that they are both very much available. Weave, who was released early for his crimes and, you know, just is let to go run around Eastern Europe taking all sorts of drugs and hacking printers in the US and all the rest. Isn't that... Oh, yeah. Promoting global white supremacy in the Daily Stormer. Just like how Richard Spencer will make us look bad, make our positions look bad by saying, "Yes, I want to expand and deepen white privilege," instead pointing out how it doesn't exist and how you're discriminated against simply for being white in this country and in many countries. It's called affirmative action. It's called diversity quotas. It's called white genocide. But he never brings up white genocide. He never brings up any of those points. He just wants to come across as a pretentious, effeminate prick. That's what his role is. He is an actor. He is highly intelligent. Yes, he is. And he is connected to some very disturbing but obvious think tanks, NGOs, and political power players. We've seen the picture of him with Barbara Bush. That should be enough to just say, "Ding, ding, ding, something's wrong here. Ding, ding, ding." How many other things do I need to say about this, you know? The Dugan connection. I could talk about, you know, Buchanan, Gottfried, the CNP connection that Nick and others have talked about. Hell, his organization has two of the same words as CNP. The Council for National Policy Institute. Let's just combine them together, shall we? Oh no, but he got punched in the face. That means he must be legit. Yeah, sure. Definitely. So much cred now. Oh, but the media attacks him. He must be good. Yeah, totally. Totally. Fasci goy. Love the haircut. The right wing is a Jewish dead end. Well, for the Jews, it's great. I'm saying for us, the right wing is a dead end. The right wing leads to more white genocide. The right wing is not right. This doesn't mean the left wing is right either. The right wing has brought us the most Israeli president ever. That's what we've seen. And Alex Jones just drunk as a skunk celebrating it. Roger Stone there too. Sickening. People still listen to them. Still take what they have to say as being being meaningful in any way. Circus Maximus. Trump said he favors stronger government surveillance powers. And he's tweeting out a Newsweek article. The CIA has outlined new rules for monitoring Americans. Yes, and actually, Barack Obama handed him some even increased powers before he left office. Traditio on Twitter. Between 2003 and 2013, the Kushner Foundation donated $342,500 to the Jewish supremacist Chabad Lubavitch movement. Fashy as hell. Already talked about moving the capital, actually, not just the capital of Israel, also the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. So that's what they're talking about now. Already gotten started on making America great again, which, if you use your They Live glasses, I don't care what John Carpenter has to say, if you use your They Live glasses, you'll see that MAGA is just Krav MAGA. Krav MAGA, the Israeli fighting style, and they have certainly used it to their advantage, have they not? And what we're going to see is not America becoming greater or great again. We're going to be seeing Israel getting greater. Yes, I'm talking about the Oded Yunon plan of greater Israel. No, it says it in the Bible. God promised it to us. We gotta do what God said. It's a legitimate claim to this land. My ancestors were here thousands of years ago. Yeah, but buddy, that guy over there, his family's been living here for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Yeah, he has no... Palestinians don't even exist. Get out of here. What are you, an anti-Semite? Lock him up. This is hate speech over here. That's the kind of justice we're going to be seeing in Talmudic America. Just, I can't stop thinking about all the people who have been down on their knees worshiping their Trump and Führer. I hate them. I hate them so much. They are traitors. Even if some of these people are just dupes, they're so retarded that they need to be purged. They need to never listen to anything they have to say ever again. Ever. They are completely discredited. It shouldn't even matter that Mike Pinovich has been exposed as being a Jew along with his wife. Just seeing him say that, oh, this meme about Jews doing 9/11 is just, I thought it was just a joke. You know, anybody that's not retarded knows that it was Muslims, and that's why we gotta kick them all out. If you can't see through this, I don't want you anywhere near me. Go. Go. If you're still saying, well, but the Daily Stormer does this and... No, get out of here. We don't want you. We're elitists over here. Not in the Richard Spencer way. I don't care about somebody's economic background or the educational experience. What I'm looking for are people who are able to think critically and get the job done. I am seeking to attract people who will allow us to progress, not degenerate, not digress, but allow us to bring the fight to our enemy. Not ensure that our worst enemy in the world gets in power because, oh, well, the guy said something about a border and, you know, Mexicans.
Mexicans. We gotta stop the Mexicans. No, we've gotta stop the frickin' Jews. That's it. Come on. Who let the Mexicans in? You hear the breaks in our commercials where I'm not making a damn cent for the commercials we run. We're trying to educate with them, trying to hammer it home. We hear these Jews bragging time and again about what they've done to us, what they are doing to us in terms of immigration, in terms of the invasion. And this is our greatest ally with Trump? You get caught up in the theater, you dimwits. Not speaking to all of the audience out there. I'm talking to anybody who's still sticking around after I told them to leave. It's like with Zuckerberg. This open borders idiot. He loves open borders for the U.S. Oh, he hates Trump, is bigot to Hillary Clinton. Yet he's meeting with Netanyahu, Shimon Peres, big fan of Israel, bends over backwards to make sure that Palestinians don't have a voice on Facebook. It's a charade. At the end of the day, they're Jews and we're Goyim. And behind the left-handed puppet has a Jew hand up its ass. So does the right-handed puppet.
But at least Trump's not Hillary. You wanted Hillary in, huh? What, are you going to vote for Hillary?
I've heard this for a freaking year and a half. I hate you. You're retarded. Go. You need to be purged. I got rid of so many people on Twitter. So many people. On Inauguration Day. GTFO. What I said to all of them. Oh, Israeli settlements have increased incredibly. Yeah, they're just, as soon as the inauguration happened, bulldozing right over more Palestinians. They've been given the green light. They've been given the A-OK. I'm making the hand sign over here. I'm making the sodomy sign over here. The Gabai sign. It's A-OK with us. We're fashy America. Go for it. Hey, they're just doing what we want to do. We want to ethnically cleanse the people too. Come on. Get on board. He's just a nationalist. Bibi's just a nationalist. Don't punch right. Don't punch right, guys. Oh. I want to get into a debate with these people. They're so cowardly, though. They are so cowardly. They could call in anytime they want. They never do. They just talk trash. They could call in, but they don't. I've challenged them to debates. I've said they could come on the show, but they won't. Because they can't debate me. That's the simple truth of it. They can't. The facts are obvious. Obvious. And I present them. We present them. And what they do is they run cover. They make excuses. They justify Jewish influence. I like hearing all the people say, well, Mike Pinovich and his Jewish wife have done more for our cause than you ever have. Look at how many people they reach through to. Yeah, thanks so much for subverting a racialist movement. Thanks so much for taking this Aryan awakening and turning it to kosher ends. Hey, job well done. You sure served your purpose, didn't you? Fanboys. The fanboys out there that want to make excuses for him, they could call in too. Let's get into it. I still do have some notes to get through here, and I might be bringing on Hugh and Nick, possibly in the second hour for a little bit, to talk about a new article Hugh is working on and some of the research that Nick's been doing as well, some of these strange coincidences. I was going to get this caller, but they dropped off the air. Maybe they just wanted to listen. Okay. How can somebody follow a Jewish plan that's given to them and expect anything other than success for the Jews? Are they all getting paid lots of shekels? Are they all secretly Jews? What the hell's going on with you here? Is it the chemtrails? Has it crippled mental functioning and somehow we're immune to it. What's going on here? Let me know. 747-999-6407. Okay, so anything else interesting going on here that I should mention in my timeline? Yeah, you can go over check out the article from the New Nationalist I posted on Renegade Tribune about Eric Prince and the former Blackwater founder aligning with Trump. It's something everybody needs to keep an eye on. There's so many very disturbing and dangerous connections that we need to be looking into. A good set of videos about Donald Trump's truth bomb on 9/11 also got posted over at the Tribune. And by truth bomb, essentially, I mean his connection to the criminals. Yeah. Lots of going on here. Oh, Trump has carried out his first drone strike in Yemen, continuing on with the Obama policy. Yeah. Expect much more of that. And even worse, he told you about how much of a war hawk he is. All these billionaires right there, front and center at the inaugural platform. Tradicio pointing it out. Phil Ruffin, Steve Wynn, Carl Icahn, Harold Hamm, Woody Johnson, Lou Eisenberg, Sheldon Adelson. Yeah, I mean, plenty more awful people that can be mentioned there. Oh, there's a tweet by Sinead, Russian President Vladimir Putin visiting the Western Wall, known to Jews as the Wailing Wall, an old Roman fortification, which they claim is theirs. Oh, but Vlad, he never dons the yarmulke. He's totally a white Aryan hero. Yeah. He's sticking it to the Jews. I don't know if you heard. That's why they actually named him the Man of the Year in Israel in 2015. Is because they know the old saying that if you should keep your friends close but your enemies closer. And that's what Trump has done, surrounding himself by, you know, 6 million Jews. Trump is surrounded by 6 million Jews in his circle there. And it's because he's keeping his enemy closer. That's why. That's why he's doing it. Yeah. Oh, tweet from Bibi Netanyahu. I had a very warm conversation on the phone tonight with President Donald Trump. He invited me to meet him in February. Yeah, he's going. Trump is going to be going to the Wailing Wall. Is he going to buck the trend and not be at the Wailing Wall wearing a yarmulke? When are we going to see this? Is it going to be in February? I can't wait for the photo op. They're probably going to not publicize it just to spite me. To spite us, yes. Yeah, nothing too much that needs to be mentioned on that front. I've talked enough Trump for a lifetime over this past year and a half. What I'd like to do is appeal to a lot of the people who are on the left side of the spectrum, because the right wing has become complacent, has become smug, is idiotic, and very hard to inspire to action. Whereas leftists actually do get out there and get in the streets and everything, and are not afraid of really, really making themselves look foolish sometimes. And that's honestly what we need. People so dedicated to a cause that they don't care what other people think of them. They don't care about some of the repercussions. They're actual true believers. We could convert at least a segment of these people, of these SJWs, to our cause. We could. We need to turn the left and the right, all honest people, the honest ones, I'm not talking about the political leaders, we need to get them informed and turn them against the proper things. They need to be against the big banks. They need to be against Jewish supremacism. They need to be against white genocide. Yes, even some leftists will get it. They're against genocide. They're against racial discrimination. And they're against, you know, sex discrimination. And if presented properly, some of these people will come around. They need to be against the kleptocrats. Nobody likes a thief. Well, unless they're part of the criminal operation, they're getting paid off. We need to get them against global imperialism.
This is another way that white genocide comes about. But the destruction of all unique and diverse cultures because of global imperialism is something a lot of people could get behind. Let's get them against slavery as well. And if we look at the world today, slavery is running rampant. But it's not white people doing it. A lot of Jews doing it, especially over in Israel, our greatest ally, according to Donald J. Trump. And what do you think that J stands for? No, it's not John. It's Jew. And blacks. Blacks are doing a lot of slaving, as well as Arabs and Asians. Lots of slavery going on. I think most people would agree that that's not good. I don't know. There might be some really fashy people out there who think that slavery is actually, you know, just the rightful position of us lowly goyim. The left. There are some good parts to it. At least in the minds of the believers. They are part of the left because they have bought into the propaganda that the political hacks have put forth. So when you think of the left, you think of things that could be good, like being anti-war, or at least anti-war without a reason. And I know all about the bombings of the Nobel Prize winner Barack Obama. Some of the left, a lot of the left, actually is anti-Israel. They're concerned for the worker. And I'm talking about the actual people who are on the left, not the criminals who are running the leftist organizations. They're against the drug war. Now, this doesn't mean we should want everybody all drugged out, but the drug war is a fraud, and it raises the price of a lot of different drugs, which is causing people to go use the street drugs. So, long story short, without doing a whole show on the drug war, which we could do, I'll say this. We need to stop using military force to flood the world with heroin coming out of Afghanistan. That'd be a good step. Marijuana decriminalization, not legalization, decriminalization would be another good step. And do you know how many people out there would actually get behind a national socialist movement, or we could just get clever and call it a social nationalist movement, if one of our platforms was decriminalization? We could get a lot of people on board, actually. And they might not be the best people for our inner circles for getting the job really done, but they could be used toward our ends and educated. A lot of them probably are pretty close. The kind of image of the stoner that the right likes to portray, you know, they call the herbal Jew, cannabis, the herbal Jew is what they say, at least the alt-right. It's inaccurate. It's fostered by Hollywood as well. And so there is a bit of people falling into that stereotype. But I've known a lot of people who smoke cannabis or ingest cannabis who really do seem to understand a lot about how this world works. They do a lot of thinking instead of a lot of drinking. But again, it's all what you do with it. You can think of it like a tool. If you're just going to use it to laugh and watch Jew movies and eat Cheetos, I don't think you're going to get enlightened. Anyway, just mentioning some things that the left has that are not all that bad or could be used for our cause. Some of them seem to be into healthy living, the organic type of crunchy people. They're against capitalism. That's good. Me too. On the right, I actually had a bit harder of a time finding some of the things that they're kind of all about which are good. Small government, pretty good. They're supposed to be anti-degeneracy and perversion and pedophilia and all that. Some of them have race realism. The Knight of Malta Buchanan helps get that message out there to them. And so that's one of the things from the right we obviously incorporate. It's a kind of nationalism, even though it's civic nationalism usually. They're against communism. Hey, I'm good with that. And they're seemingly for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
So what I propose is we take the best of both the left and the right and then transcend beyond these party politics that divides us and instead unite our people for a common cause. Much more coming up in the second hour. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Solar Storm here in the second hour. I will be taking calls in just a moment here. Want to thank Level 5 Toaster for sending me this microphone you're hearing me on right now, and also for sending me quite a bit of other equipment that I have not yet put to use. Additionally, all of the regular contributors, people who have set up monthly contributions, and the people who just occasionally send some shekels my way, I really do appreciate it. We couldn't do this all without you. This is a lot of work that I do every single day, and it is good to sometimes see the support coming in instead of seeing our enemies and people who do a whole lot less get a whole lot more. I wish I could do more. I wish we could do more. We'll find ways to bring this to the next level. We're already on a good trajectory, but if my life were a bit different, I would be coming to you perhaps every night until this all got sorted out. But I'm glad that I don't have to. You know, as much as I sometimes wish that all I had to do was just a two-hour show each week and then nothing more throughout the week except for prepare some notes or call in, I can't. It's come to the point where, you know, I can't. I am who I am. that old Yahweh saying. But I am who I am, and I can't really go back into hiding. I can't try to live a normal life. And so since I'm already out there as a public person, I'm going to do as much as I possibly can for our people while I still can. And I think it shows, and the results are all that matters. Doesn't matter if people like me, if I come across as being too much of a jerk sometimes to others, and I get marked down, oh, he doesn't play well, nice with others, you know. That's okay. I'm fine with that. Am I right? Am I correct? Did I answer the questions as they're supposed to be answered, as the only right way? I mean, that was the thing with my life. I got all of the answers right. Okay, I'm not trying to be too cocky here. I'm just being honest. In all my classes from middle school all the way up to high school and pretty much into college, although I didn't do as well getting straight A's with college. There were a few B's in there as well for some classes. But I got all the answers right. Pretty much at the end of a term in high school, I'd have something like 105%. Because I get bonus questions and I get, as in AP classes, you get a little extra. I'm right, okay? I graduated my high school with something like 103% GPA. And that's the same people who, when I came to the right conclusions regarding the Holocaust and regarding white genocide, they threw me into the bus. Well, of course he was right before. You know, he was a star athlete, and he was the valedictorian, and he was right, yeah. But then he got wrong. Now, once he went against the mainstream official narrative, things he's wrong. No, I wasn't wrong then. I'm not wrong now. In some classes, when these teachers would mark me down for a question, I said, no, your answer is wrong, and usually was. And they'd say, okay. Well, I'll fix your grade for that, and there you go. I like being right. I determined at a fairly early age that I have the capability of being correct, of outdoing others, and I take a bit of pride in that. As I said, I don't mean to be cocky, but when people tell me I'm wrong, I do like to sometimes prove them incorrect. No, I'm right and you're wrong. That's why they don't like me. It's because I proved them wrong. Okay, let's go to the callers here. Maybe some of these people do want to hash it out. They do want to duke it out. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see if I did get any people who accepted the challenge of trying to prove me wrong. We'll start off with 941 in Florida. Welcome.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am doing pretty well here. I mean, it's pretty much the same as usual. I have not changed my demeanor or my outlook for quite a few years here. I am a short-term pessimist and a long-term optimist, and I just... I'll throw it back to you. How are you doing? What's going on with you, Knight?
Not much. Are you looking for opposition or just anyone to call?
No, you can call in even if you don't want to argue with me or anything.
Okay. Yeah, this is Giovanni Sanctuary, yeah.
Welcome.
Do you remember seeing me at all or no? I don't know if me and you met. I'm not sure whatever, but...
Did we meet?
Maybe on Twitter briefly. I don't know. I might have.
Oh, well, I apologize for. I mean, I've seen so many people come and go. I think I've seen a Giovanni. Yeah, but
yeah,
I don't. Right, yeah, we didn't meet in person. That's for sure. Yes. Well, welcome. I'm glad you called in.
Yeah. I came across you guys before, like when I was going to D'Angelo. I don't know if you were paying attention to that. I heard you were going back and forth with him about the vaccines and stuff.
Yeah, that's one of those issues that that gets me very fired up, is injecting little babies with neurotoxins, with proven neurotoxins. That's one of those things that I'm not going to play nice with.
Right, and I was against D'Angelo with that, too. And I noticed that's when I first discovered Renegade Broadcasting, when I was going at Angelo. That all happened to be the same time. But D'Angelo didn't really respond much. You know, he was just one of those guys. He didn't. And plus, he met up with Nathan D'Amigo and shit like that.
Yeah. A lot could be said on Nathan. There's even a documentary made about him and his whole story about pulling a gun on an Arab taxi driver, and it was all about PTSD and all the rest. He actually did a wild card on this network as Nate Lodge. Yeah, was it 2014? Maybe 2015? Nate Lodge, and the last name he used very much made me think, hey, maybe he's a Mason. It's about cosmotheism and things like that.
Yeah, like the Masonic Lodge.
You're right, yeah.
Some of those where I'm from, too, some of them.
Yeah, there's a lot that could be said about Mr. Fashy hairdo there. But, I mean,
he wanted to raise money for Richard Spencer, for his lawyers or something. They got plenty of money.
Yeah. Raise money for Richard Spencer. Awesome. That's great. Maybe he could get an addition on his house.
What's that? What about his house?
I said he could get an addition on his $3 million house. But actually, maybe it'll be on the new house he obviously has, because he's basing his operation out of, what, Northern Virginia now?
Yeah, and he's in Montana, then he goes to D.C. It's like, how does this guy get around? It's crazy. He goes to D.C. so much for someone who lives out there. And plus, that's a danger zone. Even with white people that are hitting them and bashing on them, it's still, it might as well be in a Negro ghetto.
Yeah, D.C. is very, very dangerous and very degenerate and disgusting. There's actually a news report. I can't find it. I did play it, I think, on a show I did a few years ago, where it was talking about how child prostitution is going on one block from the White House. And they were out there showing it. Child prostitutes a block from the White House in D.C. And if that's not indicative, I don't know what is. But yeah, it's a cesspool.
It is. It's like Sacramento is kind of like D.C. light, I would say, though.
Hmm.
They have they got protests out there, too. I don't know if you heard about that.
Well, I know about Heimbach. Yeah. That kicked off the summer of chaos there.
That's right. And I saw that whole thing, and a few of the pro-whites were antagonizing all the anti's and stuff, and then they came. You don't want to antagonize them, though, in the wrong circumstances.
I don't know why we should be engaging with proxy armies in the streets. It's stupid. It is the worst strategy ever to go out and try to
wake people up.
We're going to waste our resources. We're going to really just be out there
pissing in the wind. This is, or worse. This is really not the way forward, in my opinion. Yes, we do need to show ourselves on the streets, but going out there looking for confrontations, kind of like back in the old skinhead days where they go out there looking for a fight, not beneficial for our cause.
But now you got the soft alt-right now and the alt-light and all that shit. That's like the total reverse of what used to be.
Well, what I like and what I proposed for the White Man March was going out there and flash demonstrations where you're not letting your enemy know what you're going to be doing, and you get to dominate the space. That's the most intelligent way to go about it, in my opinion.
So you don't like show that you're a 1488 or whatnot. You just go as a group and just kind of talk, and you start talking.
No, well, what we did with the White Man March in 2014 was send out the same signs, banners, right, and flyers people could print up with the same kind of message on it, and just had people all around the world do some kind of demonstration. It could just be handing out flyers. It could be putting up a banner. It could be doing a flash demo where you maybe it's just two of you converge in an area and hold up signs. It could be 10 of you, but it wasn't a literal march that was planned in advance. Get it? Pulling permits, calling ourselves a protest. It was people doing coordinated action around the world on the same day to try to have a viral effect, and it did. It was the number one hashtag on Twitter that day.
Yeah. I like the whole thing, like if you could go out there and hold up a sign that says, "With Jews, we lose," or something.
Well, yeah, we had Robert do
that.
That
guy did that.
Yeah.
Robert, yeah.
Yeah, I did his website for him. We interviewed him as well for the Renegades in America roadshow. Interesting guy. I haven't heard from him in a while.
Gage was on it too.
What's that?
Angelo John Gage was on.
Yeah, I know.
You must meet him at some point.
Yeah, we met him in person. That was pretty soon after he came onto the scene.
Yeah.
And that goes to show.
How was he in person?
Go ahead.
How was Angelo in person back at that time, you'd say?
He seemed like an all right person.
It seemed like
he was just a kind of a novice, trying to seek the right approach, and I think he fooled a lot of people.
I think he was easily led by certain things, or he listened to too many people. Maybe that he kind of struck me as that. Would you say so?
I don't know. I think he might have been operative the whole time. But yeah, he did kind of go back and forth. I'm going to try this now, and then I'm going to go in a different direction, and we'll call them this, and we'll call them that, and we'll use this buzzword. And it was just, I think, trying to disrupt what was working, which was putting forth the white genocide memes. And he was trying to come in and improve on that. And I don't trust Angelo one damn bit. I don't really want to bring up that guy anymore, because it's completely irrelevant. But anything else you want to get to here before I take some of their calls and start to go ahead.
I would say if there's something else I'm going to get to, it would probably be just, I mentioned Richard Spencer, the whole Mike Enoch thing. Some people wanted me to make a video about the Mike Enoch thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
Mike Enoch, and you know something, I didn't know who this guy was until he made news recently. And you know what I found? I knew he was a Jew right away. How people didn't see that coming, I don't know.
Yeah. Renegade's been saying this for a while, that the alt-right is pro-Jewish and pro-homosexual.
Compromised. Totally compromised.
Yes, completely. And they have been from the start.
Huh?
And they've been from the start. I mean, Paul Gottfried was the guy who coined the term in 2008. So, and he was this one of the mentors of Richard Spencer. Called him a good friend. So it was a Jew who came up with this term, and then Richard Spencer who carried it forth, and Jews who have been promoting it, even if it seems like they're attacking it all over the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Go ahead, and then we'll get some other calls here.
Okay, one more thing I want to ask. When I first discovered Renegade also, I saw that you had like a pro-gay thing in your thing. Unless it was satire or something, I don't know.
No, that's people who have been defaming us. We've never had a pro-gay thing. Well, there's Rodney Martin photoshopped a rainbow flag over my picture, which is just pathetic.
So He dedicated a website to it then. That was his.
Well, he has used his website, his blog, to make many, many different articles with very high SEO ranking very high in the search engine results, to smearing, defaming us here at Renegade. And also there was Giacomo Vallone, a.k.a. Jackson, a.k.a. Jackson Gupta, a.k.a. I don't know what his real first name is. I've seen it before. It is Indian. And Jackson Gupta of the European Knights Project did a very long article about me and the Million Gay Man March and how I'm a pedophile and I like bestiality and I all sorts of disgusting things. And then I threatened to sue him, and he put satire at the end of the article. Awful person.
You did a good job making it look real, that's for sure.
Really? I mean, because I'm surprised people fell for that, to be honest. I guess because
I didn't know what to think. What?
I guess I don't know. I don't know. I've covered that topic a number of times here on the network, so I'm not going to bring back up Jackson. Let's just say that there are lots and lots of people out there who hate what Renegade is doing. I said Renegade there. That's one of the things they call us, Renegade. And they will do anything. All these dirty, underhanded tactics to try to bring us down. When the only thing we do when we go after our opponents or people who we think are controlled opposition is we present the facts on them. When do they ever present the facts and lots of evidence regarding us? No, they don't. Well, I do appreciate you calling in. Thanks for taking the time.
All right. Anytime, yeah.
Take care. All right. Let's go to Miami.
Hey, this is Ralph.
Ralph, welcome.
Yeah. No, I was hearing about what we need to do to recruit more people to our cause, and I've been agreeing with you for some time on the fact that the right wing, we've saturated everything we could get out of them. I mean, I've been knowing about this stuff since 2003, and most of us come from a right wing background and sort of evolve into the state we're in today. And after this whole Trump thing, it's pretty much everybody took their mask off. We know who's for real, and we know who's fake, the contenders from the pretenders. And at this point, there's really nothing else we can get out of the right wing. I mean, anybody that would come to our cause from that side of the aisle would already be here. So with the left wing, though, my question is, we have to identify the right leftist. Because there are a certain type of leftists that we obviously wouldn't want around us or our children or our families. I mean, I think one group we should really target are the environmentalists. Because when you look at environmentalists, how many non-whites do you see among that group?
None, pretty much. And I agree with you completely here with environmentalism. Now, this doesn't mean I like carbon tax or Al Gore or any of that other crap. It means that I love the environment, just the way that the National Socialists did as well. And they were into animal rights, which is often associated with the left wing. And Hitler was a vegetarian, along with a number of other people within the Reich. And they really cared about organic food, all of these seemingly left-wing things. And I think we need to reclaim them. Definitely.
Oh, sure. We definitely need to reclaim all that stuff with the environment. And, you know, just a little bit more on this right wing here. You just have a lot of people that were Jew-wise, not just for a couple of months or a year, but for decades, that pretty much flipped the script. I mean, it's just anybody that was Jew-wise and that's right wing that supported Trump, I consider them excommunicated. Now, the average person in the street that may have voted for Trump, you know, they're working two jobs, they're trying to keep a roof over their head, so I don't condemn those people as much, but these so-called thought leaders that were Jew-wise for decades, and then they flipped the script on Trump, that doesn't make any kind of sense to me. And, you know, I've been on Chris's show before, I've been on Nick's show, a couple of roundtables, and we seem to be in agreement on that, but, you know, we just have to be careful who's led into these circles, because a lot of the people on the left and on the right, you know, they're easily duped or they're paid off. I mean, with the left, you were even mentioning last night, that a lot of these people are paid off. I mean, how do you think they're going to get 10,000 people with a couple months' notice to Bayfront Park in Miami, which I'm nearby? They got 10,000 people just like that. They're paying a lot of them off. They have ads on Craigslist, $18 an hour, $1,500 an hour for activism. So we don't have those kind of resources, obviously, but there are going to be some honest people we can appeal to. So we have to be very vigilant, just as we've been with the right, to sort out the left. And then Boston at 100,000, I mean, that's a lot of money they're putting out to a lot of these supposed protesters.
Yeah. Ralph, anything else you wanted to add? We got a few people calling in here.
No, I just support the network. I'll continue calling in, and thanks for the time. Pleasure talking to you.
Definitely. Thank you for calling in, like usual. Ralph, good participation there. Let's see. We have somebody from Chicago coming up next. Hello, caller. Who's this?
Yeah, Kyle. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, yeah, Tony from Chicago. No, I just wanted to call you. You know, I'm just going to be, you know, blunt with you. I'm just surprised at your contention that you think that you could get anywhere with the left. And I'm basing that on what I see in this city, okay? I mean, it's just on Friday. Okay?
You mean the guys down at Boys Town? No, I'm not looking for the kind of left, especially in cities. What I'm talking about would be, say, some white Democrats who are part of unions or things like that, or even just educating some people who have been coming from the left perspective. Because we've got a number of people who used to be leftists who are now completely on board already. We've seen it happen. So I just think now that Trump's in office, we could show them why they're not wrong for disliking Trump. It's just that they're disliking him for the wrong reasons. So I think that there's an opportunity here.
Oh, no, I mean, those type of people, you know, as far as getting them on the pro-white side, I'm not going to argue with you that you couldn't, you know, get a few of them over here. But I mean, they may be, you know, as they grow older, a lot of them may do that naturally. But as far as this SJW crowd, okay, I mean, in this city it's huge, and they're not being paid. They're sick, okay? They're brainwashed against themselves as white people. They're pro-fag. They're sick bastards. And the only way to deal with these people is to break their bones and to stick them in re-education camp. And no, and that's how because I was downtown, you know,
right,
where Heimbach.
Well, we don't advocate just going out there and breaking bones of the random leftists. The thing is,
I'm talking in general. Let me talk. I'm talking in general.
Okay, I'm just making it clear that I'm not advocating for people to go out there,
don't worry about
break
it.
Bones.
Don't worry. Don't get uptight.
But the point I'd like to make briefly here is that wouldn't do anything. Where would that really get us?
No, but that's the only way you're going to get anywhere with these kids. Okay, they are so brainwashed against themselves.
Oh, I know.
White people. They are so pro-faggot. They are satanic, okay? The Jew influence on this crowd. And I'm just, hey, they're not being paid. There was a couple thousand of them down there where Heimbach and Scoop was, okay? And that, if you see that crazy statue, and I know you're going to freak. No, I walked down there before I went to Trump Tower and paid $9 for a beer. And I'm not going to, probably, I'm not 100% Trump, but I'm nowhere near where you're at on it, okay.
All right, well, I understand where you're going with this. A lot of them cannot be reached. That's why I said at least a segment, the people who aren't hardcore like that, but who really just do want to see social justice. If you go back in history, Father Coughlin in the 1920s into the 30s, actually, he had a publication called Social Justice. This man was very much speaking out against the international Jewish control system. He was calling it out, and he was the number one radio broadcast in America,
right.
And he called it social justice. So what I'm saying is, and I'm not a Christian, so I'm not saying, you know, we need to follow this guy's lead in the way he was preaching to the people. But the point is that social justice could be something that we embrace as part of our cause. Civil rights. Maybe we should start using these terms because they actually do apply. Now, Tony, we are running out of time here in this segment. So any final thoughts before I get some other callers on the other side?
Just one sentence. Like I said, the degree of depravity amongst white youth, and it's just not here.
I know.
Experience in Cape Coral, Florida. It has gone so far. It's going to be a monumental task to overcome this.
Very damaged.
It's monumental.
Very damaged.
I don't think you realize how far it's gone.
Oh,
maybe you do, because you're at this age. You're like 20.
Well, I'm 33.
Mind-boggling.
I'm 33. Yes.
Okay. It's monumental. It's just so far gone.
I know.
So I'll let you go. I'll let you go.
Thanks for the call. Okay. You know, definitely true. I don't have much hope in them. They're pretty much, can we write them off? I don't know. I don't see them as a whole lot of threat to us, but I don't think we should focus all that much time on them. That's the point. Yeah, they're not a big threat, so let's not focus too much time worrying about their idiotic attitudes. Maybe some of them will fall in line when things get real, and if they don't, then they're pretty much out there thrown to the wolves. Back for the last half hour. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the last half hour here on the Solar Storm. I have Nick Spiro joining me here. This is his third night being on the air here at Renegade. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, Kyle. Excellent show so far. I wanted to follow up on Tony's call. I'm in the same area. I'm not in the city itself. I'm in the burbs. But I'm not sure if Tony is a regular listener. But I've said this on my shows or on roundtables in the past. Chicago is a segregated area where you could tap into the Eastern European community. There are a lot of Poles. There are a lot of Serbians. There are a lot of Lithuanians. There's Hungarians. Name a Eastern European country, and you could tap into their culture. You can influence their people by educating them on how things really are in America. You can go to a lot of their cultural events. They're ongoing, maybe every weekend, but there are a lot of these cultural events that you can tap into and run into people, get to know people. When I go to these events, when I go into European-owned establishments, Greek, Italian, it doesn't matter, a lot of Polish-owned establishments. You can speak with these people. When I go into a Greek establishment, I speak on the Golden Dawn. And I even had a Greek owner in Greektown hugging me and praising my knowledge on Greece and their people and what's going on with the migrant crisis over there. Talking about Golden Dawn, at first he was a little hesitant to talk to me because he knows about how fascist they are or whatever in quotation marks. But at the same time, at the end of the night, he was praising our conversation. So these types of conversations need to take place. Take the opportunity, do your work, and start rubbing shoulders and elbows and having conversations, having dialogue with the people in Chicago, Tony. There are plenty of people that are in the city itself that are not degenerate. They bring their European traditional values over here and they maintain them. A lot of them don't assimilate. They gather amongst themselves. They work amongst themselves. But you can go to these cultural events and you can get to know them. They're great people.
But do some of these people identify with the left politically?
I would say that they might be anti-Nazi per se because of the indoctrination they've gone through. So I don't really think that they fall for the left-right like the American people do per se with Republican-Democrat, but most of them aren't for degeneracy. So the SJW far disgusting left, they don't fall for that. But at the same time, a lot of them join unions. They participate in the elections with the Democratic Party. So there are, I guess, what you would call them left.
Okay. Well, anything else you wanted to get to regarding anything I've discussed thus far, any new topics? I know that Hugh and you were going back and forth with some interesting material today. I don't know how much of that you want to get into, but yeah, please, anything else you wanted to bring up?
Well, as far as Hugh's article, I don't want to step on his toes if he wants to discuss it on a wild card this week or not. But as far as a lot of the connections with what you mentioned with the 777 and the alignments, there's the Cygnus star system that's tied into this article that people should really look into. There's a lot of esoteric value when it comes to constellations and alignments of the planets and stars. This ties into how there were three events that took place when Donald Trump won the election based off of the Electoral College. So the Berlin truck attack, the mass shooting in Switzerland, and the Russian diplomat in Turkey, that shooting there, which I've only looked into the Berlin truck attack and discussed that as well as the Russian diplomat, as far as those being staged operations. Never did look into the mass shooting, but Oli Damigard did, and he also confirms that that was a staged operation as well. So basically, in a nutshell, these events took place, kind of giving this ritualistic tribute to Donald Trump. So a lot of these types of things do occur. If you've seen the movie by Mel Gibson, Apocalypto, these high priests are aware of events before they happen, and they're able to tap into the energy, the ethos, to where they can mesmerize the populace. And that's kind of where I'm going at with what took place that day, December 19th. So there's that, and then there's a lot more ties into Jared Kushner and his donation of over $300,000 to Chabad, and lots of other things with David Friedman. I wrote an article about David Friedman, the ambassador to Israel, and how he's going to be one of the main figures who will be moving the capital and the embassy over to Jerusalem. And that article that I wrote is linked into here, and a lot more that people should be looking out for. I'm sure that you're going to be posting that on the Tribune soon. I think Hugh did complete that.
Oh, great. Well, as far as things all happening at the same time and the whole celestial alignment talk, I'm thinking about the comet and the meteors. In that 1958 show that I played on the last solar storm here, the Trump character in that is saying that he could build a wall for people to protect them from the meteors and comet that was to come. And we saw a New Year's comet in the news. We also saw The Economist running a cover with these different tarot cards where the star card had a comet in it. And also we have comets, ping pong, right? So there is this comet that we're seeing all about. And then with the meteors, the White House had actually, under Obama, had prepared, done some emergency preparations for meteors that would be incoming. Have you looked into this at all? And have you seen anything else, any other references that might deserve our attention? We do have, of course, Wernher von Braun and the different things he said, which would pose a threat, a supposed threat to the world that would justify different solutions.
Yeah, I think a lot of this meteor, asteroid, comet discussion in the mainstream media is to continue the perpetual fear into the people of an Armageddon, apocalypse, mass devastation. So that's a need that the oligarchs, the people pulling the strings in geopolitics. That's how they control and manipulate the people, just like Von Braun also discussed how terrorism would also be another tool or a boogeyman to be used as a control method. And then also the final solution would be the alien threat. Mm-hmm. That would be, I don't know exactly the wording of that. Some say that it would be a fake alien invasion, or that these alien beings would pose no threat at all, but then our governments of the world would then want us to rise up and say that they were a threat.
You know, the whole disclosure project with Stephen Greer always rubbed me the wrong way. And look at some of the people who are into this whole disclosure meme. You've got John Podesta there in the WikiLeaks emails. Before anybody was talking about Pizzagate, they're talking about his UFO talk. So there's definitely something going on there. And when you look at the Comet ping pong bathroom with the guy who's masturbating himself, he's playing against a gray alien in ping pong. And right across from the alien, it says, shut up and fuck. So, yeah, there's something strange going on with the aliens, the abductions and whatnot. And I don't know what the reality of the situation is. I just don't like it. I know that I don't like it. I know that there's something there. So, definitely something to keep your eyes on.
Kyle?
Yep.
Kyle, yeah, we're hitting the 70-year anniversary for Roswell as well.
Oh, yeah. That was 47. Mm-hmm. And what else happened in 47, Nick? A lot of things, huh?
The formation of the CIA and the first computer. Artificial intelligence was first created. The National Security Act, which helped form the Department of Defense and CIA, and to be able to utilize the concept of top secret and the populace does not need to know because of national security, that kind of a concept. So yeah, the whole intelligence apparatus, the creation of Israel, the creation of the UN.
Our greatest allies, all of it.
Yeah.
And Trump supports two things in this world 1,000%. He's on the record. Israel and the CIA. Both created in the same year. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, we have to keep our eyes on a whole lot of things, but I agree with your assessment of the comets and even the alien invasion being used as a way to scare the populace. And we know the Ronald Reagan speech at the UN actually gave a few speeches about how an alien, a threat, could unite the people of this world into a new world order, essentially. Yeah, so we know the program. 2012. Oh man, being in the alternative media leading up to 2012 was just awful, and all the talk at Nibiru and Planet X, and some people talking about the ascension. Other people saying it's all going to end. It's going to be destroyed. I've seen the movie. It was just that was kind of like, well, Y2K as well. There's so many different instances we can point to. The same. Yeah.
I was going to say, our DNA will be activated in 2012. Well, nothing really spectacular happened. So.
Well, Renegade Broadcasting did come into existence. That was the Titanic shift that occurred in 2012. Yes. There you go.
Well, we are about to hit the 50-year mark for the USS Liberty, and people have been bringing that up in the chat room. That was brought up in the roundtable, I believe, as well, with Chris Dorsey. He mentioned how he has spoken or contacted Scott Rickard about potentially having some of these veterans, those that were present during that invasion of the USS Liberty, the Israeli attack on our own people. So that I do hope that Scott, I will also, like I did before, to make sure he got on my show, I will stalk him to at least respond to see if he can get a hold of some of those people, or if not all of them, so that they can participate in the apocalypse in the end of March coming up here.
Well, actually, Nick, I was just talking to Dave Gaheri of AFP, and he's the one who's behind Erasing the Liberty with Phil Turney about the USS Liberty, of course.
And he knows all of these survivors, and they're actually working on a full feature film about the USS Liberty. So very exciting in that regard. But I talked to him. He's going to come on the show and discuss the book, which is getting re-released in 2 weeks. So probably in 2 or 3 weeks from now. But I brought up the idea of them attending the AIPAC demonstration, and he seemed to think it was a very good idea. So we could have some really powerful presentations outside of AIPAC this year. And I really think that this is one of those game-changing type of events that if we put the right energy into, we could shift the whole world from here on out. And that's what I've always been seeking with this network is, yes, we do plug away with the day-in, day-out work done here with Renegade Tribune, Renegade Broadcasting. But when you hit a home run, say with one particular show that goes viral, or when it's a planned event, the White Man March, or a documentary, that or an article that reaches 50,000 shares or whatever, that's the kind of thing that, well, the world will never be the same after. And so that's
like,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, kind of like the intro to your radio show and how that, what the wording in that, I can't exactly remember it, but as far as how it will shake
the universe.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what we're talking about here.
Yes, precisely. Well, Nick, anything else you wanted to bring up that's been on your radar this past day or two that we didn't cover in the roundtable?
Well, as far as you brought up how other people are bringing up the Council for National Policy and the Trump connections, there's really nobody else bringing that up but me. And I would like other people to start digging into that and talking about it, writing articles. I can't be the only one doing that. I know Josh Reeves does it on occasion, but rarely does he ever do a radio show, and rarely does he ever discuss this. And when he does have a radio show, he's begging for shekels. So it can't be just me talking about the Council for National Policy.
Right. Well, I try to mention it as much as possible because it's so very important to the beast that we're trying to slay. And yet people just the cover for it. They don't think it's a big problem because, well, they're in bed with those people. That's the alt-right for you. They don't see it as a problem. They don't see the Israeli connections as a problem, apparently. There's every excuse in the book that can be made. And most of the time, they don't even want to have to make excuses. They just want to bury the information. Don't talk about it. That's why we have to keep hammering away and showing exactly what's going on here, not just with the left wing, but with the right wing. And once people realize that very hard truth that we don't have any leaders out there in the political sphere who are actually representing us, then maybe we can start to find some real solutions. Maybe we can inspire people to actually get out there and change themselves, that rather than wait every 4 years to go to the ballot box and just relegate themselves to Twitter posting.
Well, even the people that discuss 9/11 and PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, there are a lot of those members that are actually Council for National Policy members as well. And a lot of them want to mention the CFR. Well, a lot of those CFR members are Council for National Policy as well. So a lot of them want to discuss certain aspects of the conspiracy against our people, but they're not tapping into a huge power that flows through to the truth, the research community. A lot of these podcasts, a lot of these radio shows are branches off of the Council for National Policy, including Alex Jones. So people really need to look at the controlled opposition that's coming directly from the Council for National Policy, these tentacles that are sprouted out towards us, directing their message, trying to control the narrative. And basically, they are the Operation Mockingbirds of today.
I couldn't agree more. Nick, I really thank you for calling into this show here tonight. I appreciate talking to you. I was going to go to that random caller that we had there. Maybe you thought I wasn't going to. That was strange, the title that this guy had listed. He's never called in before, but we saw a lot of information from him. I don't know what he was doing here, to be honest. Very strange.
Well, he's back.
He's back. All right. John, are you there? John.
Hello. This is actually Seth. Can you hear me?
Yes. You're coming through. I'm seeing a profile for somebody who's much different. You say Seth?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually calling you from a VoIP server, so it doesn't have a traditional area code. But you dumped my call a couple times, so I've been calling back.
Okay, well, that's because I'm seeing an avatar here for some person and his job listing title. So it could have been somebody else who used this service in the past, and you've just got their phone number now for this call. I don't know what that's all about, but that's why I dropped this. It looks very suspicious, but welcome.
Okay, thank you. So, I just wanted to ask, like, did you have any idea of the kind of internecine warfare you're going to be in for when you first started Renegade? I mean, as far as, you know, other
yes.
people that you guys have exposed with Shields and all the other, you know, problematic figures in the movement?
Yes, because that's how Renegade formed. It was somewhat of an offshoot off of Oracle Broadcasting, which became defunct about 4 months after they kicked a few of us off of their network, Mike Sledge and myself, and we formed a new network, and I think our truth really just sunk their ship, because their audience no longer wanted to hear these people cover up for the real issues.
Okay, interesting. I mean, I sometimes I get concerned, like, hey, there seems to be a lot of squabbling, but on the other hand, it's important to expose people if they are a shill or compromised or have some sort of dirty laundry of skeletons in their past that, you know, I think that people should know about. So I understand Renegade, you know, catches a lot of flack for attacking other people, you know, on the so-called same team. But
here's a question for you. I have for you. How much money do you think that the people who run this world spend on counterintelligence, on subversion, on demoralization, on controlled opposition? What kind of monetary figure are we talking about?
I don't know. All the money they can print.
And how many people do you think you could buy? How many different people do you think you could plant with that money?
Most of the people, I'd imagine.
Yes, and how long do you think they've been doing this?
50, 70 years, maybe more.
Well, Lenin was famous for saying the best way to control an opposition is to lead it ourselves. So, well beyond Lenin, I'll say that.
Sometimes it's hard not to get demoralized by the sheer number of people that seem to be eventually out of the shields and compromised. And you got so many people that were listening to TRS, and then finally, you know, they're exposed. And I know you guys had been hammering on them for a good long while. And I was never huge fans of them either. I mean, I kind of appreciate some of the humor and songs and whatnot, but dude, every time they would go, you know, they would jump all over any kind of news media false flag or hoax event with totally uncritically and unquestionably, as long as it suited their agenda. So if it was like a Muslim that supposedly did the attack, then they would just eat it right up. If it was allegedly a black person shooting the cops, they'd just eat it right up totally uncritically.
And that was the big thing that caused a schism between Renegade and TRS. Was that they wouldn't even think about looking into the Dylan Stormroof case, even though that didn't benefit their narrative. I was very disappointed in a lot of people. I mean, I've been so disappointed so many times over the years, but now I'm just realistic about it. But nobody out there who is a leading figure wants to even acknowledge, at least within the racialist anti-Jewish supremacy crowd, none of them want to really acknowledge the existence of false flags besides ourselves and a few other people, and that's very suspicious to me. They're telling you to believe the Jewish media. They'll tell you that the Jews run the media, but then they want you to believe them.
That's exactly it. That's my biggest frustration, is, you know, they'll rant and rail about the Jews media and then just lap it right up when it suits their agenda. Just, I don't know. I don't get it, but
what do you think about the people who say
have a lot of
They just want to be practical. They don't want to come across as those conspiracy theorists. Let's just stick to the main issues of our cause. And hey, as you said, it works to our advantage. So even if it is a hoax, let's use it.
Well, one of the things that drew me towards Renegade, I think originally, was you guys are on point about vaccines, about chemtrails, about EMF exposures, about natural birth. I mean, all these things, you know, I've come to the same conclusion, and that, you know, I don't really hear a lot of other people. And, you know, and I'm, again, I think sometimes we're lacking, like, proper terms. I don't know if you want to call it the racialist movement or white preservation movement or whatever label you want to attach to it, because it seems like a lot of these labels are designed, you know, more for neuro-linguistic.
Agreed completely. Programming and, I agree 100%. Yes. Yeah.
You know, than they are being actually descriptive. So, you know, sometimes I get, I think the term white is sort of problematic. I mean, if, you know, we're talking essentially about people's melanin, is it melatonin?
Melanin. Sorry. It's actually melanin, which is it's related to light as well. Melatonin and melanin are related to the amount of light that we get into us, and both of them are kind of screwed up that we're not getting the right kind of light. Any event, I agree with you about white. The problem is that European also doesn't really work, because that also limits us geographically and takes away our even justification for being here in America. Go back to Europe, gringo. You know, so there are reasons I wouldn't want to use that. And I also don't, I don't think it's very accurate of who we really are. Aryan, I think it's honestly more accurate. However, it's also very tainted, and it is somewhat now localized to India, because they claim it as their own. So there are not very many good words to use and have a lot of people understand what you mean. We have to reach through to people who are hearing all about white privilege and white guilt and white this and white that. And we need to sometimes talk to them in those terms. And it gets really complicated when you have to be using very specific or long labels. Labeling can be very problematic in general, and the English language is not always very accurate with our words. We are running out of time. I want to thank you for calling in. I appreciate it, and hopefully you'll call in again.
Okay. Good talking to you, bud.
You too. Take care. All right, so we're pretty much out of time. I wanted to go through just a few things here. Of course, I'd rather be doing other things. I'd rather be working on my garden, working on building an orchard, having a larger family, building my own furniture, building a house, painting masterpieces on massive canvases, writing some books, reading books, exploring the mysteries of life, meditating and walking, hiking, biking, creating films, more dramas, comedies, documentaries, doing all sorts of different projects, becoming more physically fit. I do what I can. Teaching others as a professor at an actual institution, but we can't really do that yet. Traveling the world, studying the people, making real connection with them, and developing relationships based out of respect and honor, creating strong folk communities. However, there are so many things standing in our way: the Jews with their money, their media, their mass mind control, the toxic food, water, and air, vaccines that are damaging our future generations, the left versus right dialectic, the problem reaction solution we see, the complacent and comfortable activists amongst our ranks, the lack of any real leadership, the desire for a hero or an external messiah, some kind of force to come through and do it for us, the gullibility of our people and the wishful thinking, and of course, the natural world being decimated, the authoritarian technocracy that has taken over, and the robot revolution and transhumanism that is coming our way. All of these things prevent me from doing what I actually want to be doing, so that's why I have to meet them head on with you, confront them, and destroy them. Destroy everything that's standing in our way. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be with you again soon. Much more coming up on Renegade Broadcasting.